escape to the metaverse, but act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Lizzo show. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Lizzo show. Hey everyone, before we begin this week's episode of the Matthew and Rizzle Show, just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Proof of Beauty. Proof of Beauty is an experimental digital experience studio. The blockchain is their canvas and the tokens are their brush. You can learn more about Proof of Beauty by checking out pob.studio. You can follow them on Twitter as well at prrfbeauty. That's PRRF Beauty on Twitter and pob.studio on their homepage to learn more about their projects like Hash, London, and Publico. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, Matthew here. Before we begin today's show, I just want to remind everyone of this month's sponsor, Whale Street. Whale Street is the DeFi engine that powers NFT economics on a massive scale. They make huge currency swaps happen, or whale swaps as they're called, with very small slippage costs and without crashing the system. They also engineered the largest ever NFT bundle and fractionalized it into the historic B20 tokens. Whale Street is all about upside, so dip into the liquidity pools for rich rewards. For B20, join discord.com/whale. That's discord.com/WHALE. And follow Whale Street on Twitter at Whale Street OFFL. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, Matthew here. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Matthew and Rizzle Show. This week, Rizzle and I had the opportunity to speak with Patricio, who is the founder of POAP, otherwise known as the Proof of Attendance Protocol. We talked all about the origin story of POAP, where it's heading, some really interesting and exciting product roadmap discussions, and of course, the Token Smart community and everyone listening to the Matthew and Rizzle Show gets a huge, huge shout out, because all of you guys are pretty much the biggest collectors of POAP, at least as far as I know. So without further ado, please enjoy the conversation that Rizzo and I had with Patricio, founder of POAP. Okay, Patricio, welcome to the Matthew and Rizzo Show.
Hey, Matt. Happy to be here.
Really excited to talk to you. And I think anyone who's been in the Token Smart Discord for a while, especially, is really, really familiar with the product that you created, the Proof of Attendance Protocol, or POAP, as it's lovingly called. But I'm curious if you could kind of give us a lowdown and an intro to who you are, what you've done in your career, and what you were doing until you created POAP.
Yes, sure. I love this crowd. I love listeners of this podcast, because you are all so passionate about POAP that it's really very strong validation. So I'm 34 years old. I've been born in 87 in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I'm in Buenos Aires right now because of the pandemic. And in 2015, I went professionally full-time Ethereum. Before that, I was a computer technician on a very small business here in Argentina. In 2015, when I went full-time Ethereum, that means that I started dedicating all my available productive time to learning more about Ethereum. And it wasn't like what you would say working. because it took me so long to learn enough to work in the space that it was maybe until 2017, so 2 years, that it was only mostly learning. Ethereum was too new and everything was too hard. I wasn't the person that had the most talent to get these new concepts. It's like if you have a computer science background, maybe it's easier for you, but I didn't have it. So in 2015, when I was maybe 27, I went full-time Ethereum. I got into the rabbit hole, the way they say it. And it was exciting. It was fun. It was much better than anything else I've done prior to that professionally. And it went well. It went very well because those 2 years of learning were like a massively impactful bootcamp for me in decentralized technologies, in finance, in computer science, in game theory. And in 18, I decided that I wanted to be a dApp developer because I had learned so much and I had spent so much time on these technologies that it just made sense for me to keep my professional progression on the space by founding a dApp. And in 18, we didn't have many dApps. Almost we didn't have any compared to these days. And when I started thinking what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, I had a core premise, which was it has to be something that couldn't be built without a blockchain technology, without a decentralized network. And that was hard because it's only a couple of things that really need a state-level censorship resistance. Like almost anything else in consumer technology, like consumer applications, online consumer applications, doesn't need a blockchain. But I had a passion or inclination for collecting things, and I quickly noticed that in collecting, many times the collector doesn't have guarantees about the scarcity of what he's collecting, the authenticity of what he's collecting. And I came up with this idea of the proof of attendance protocol, which was an open standard for anyone to issue tokens once they went to places. I would be lying if I said that I had an original idea. I used to think of this, and it has mutated now, but I used to think of this as Foursquare, the social location app, Foursquare, but the badges are only yours and anyone can issue them. Because in Foursquare, the badges were of the company, not yours. You were a customer of the company. And you had to go through Foursquare gatekeeping system for if you were a restaurant or a concert venue to issue badges. So in PoApp, we would use decentralized technologies for issuing badges and for giving people true ownership of them. And it could be a really augmented experience because a Foursquare system where you can have the guarantee, the strong guarantee that the badge will be there forever despite whatever happens to the company, and that gives you and that gives anyone the ability to issue these proofs, it's highly exciting. So I guess that's how I came to this point.
That's fascinating. So 2015, you come into Ethereum full-time professionally. It sounds like you do a ton of studying during that time until 2018 and probably a lot of trading.
I got obsessed. I went on the typical path. I got obsessed with the technology. It was fascinating. I wanted to know it all. I started traveling to conferences, meeting people. I started doing trading. I got Ether. I got Ether in 2015. I was completely confused about what it was. If I knew half of what I know today, I wouldn't have bought anything because it was like the risk-reward ratio wasn't there. It was extremely risky. The community wasn't being held together very well. But I'm very glad I did. I made that mistake. I made many more mistakes that went well. I had to say that I've been very fortunate along the way. Maybe by luck, maybe because the community was very welcoming. That was also nice. Buenos Aires, it's an aggressive society. The society in Buenos Aires is very aggressive. And finding such a welcoming place online, the Ethereum community, it was a refreshing experience. So, yeah.
I think we can all identify with that. And then framing PoApp as a Foursquare where you own the badges, I actually like that framing. I hadn't actually considered that before, but it's super spot on. And then sort of double-clicking into PoApp, to me at least, there seems to be like two stories, pre-COVID PoApp and then post-COVID PoApp. I'm wondering if you could kind of like walk us through what PoApp was before the world shut down and we all weren't able to go to these conferences, meet up and collect these amazing PoApp badges that several of us hopefully had the opportunity to collect in the past before COVID.
Yeah, there's clearly a milestone or a barrier in between pre-COVID and post-COVID. But something that I haven't mentioned, and it's very important to understand to understand PoApp. PoApp was born as an experiment. I wanted to be a dApp developer to have a better playing experience with the technology. I didn't want just to be a user. I wanted to be a creator. But PoApp wasn't meant to be an enterprise, wasn't meant to make money, wasn't made even to be an organization. It was just a couple of friends that I gathered and we built a thing over a weekend on a hackathon. So it's important to understand that pre-COVID, everything PoApp was highly experimental. It was scrappily put together. Like we didn't have any resources. We made everything the cheapest way it could be done. And it went so well that eventually we mutated into a more professional offering. So pre-COVID, another issue we had when we started, I started toying with the idea in late 18 and we launched in February 19. And this is interesting because it's only been 2 years. And one of them, we had a global scale pandemic. So in February 19, we started this thing on December and something that wasn't so nice, or I don't know how to put it, but it wasn't really nice. Everything was really hard because the concept of NFT was so new and everything on Ethereum was so rough that everything you wanted to build took endless amount of time and tears because things didn't work. You wanted to connect with OpenSea and it was a huge pain. You wanted to be seen on mobile wallets. And you had to make a connector for every wallet. You wanted people to mint the thing, and sometimes they didn't have the way to do it. It was really bad. It took us a lot of time and resources to get a thing that barely worked. So 19, although we were very successful on our own metrics, it was all about pain. We started in Denver. We issued a nice bunch of PoApps, like manually to people. From there, we kept following the conference circuit that Ethereum had because understanding the protocol, using it and showing it could only be done by hardcore Ethereum people. You couldn't have consumers because everything NFT at that time, unlike today, was only for highly educated people in decentralized technologies. And so we kept going to different events. And in 19, it happened that almost every event we went, we doubled success on almost all metrics. So we started in Denver and things went much better than expected. From there, we went to East Paris. Things went very well. From there, we went to an event in Australia that the Ethereum community was having. Things went very well as well. And in May, so 3 years after, we had our first big hit on ETH New York. We were in an official capacity. The organizer wanted to have PoApp to every attendee. And we were given a booth. And our booth, which was more like a desk, just a desk, was full of people for the whole conference. Vitalik Buterin came to ask, what's the thing you are doing that's full of, it's constantly full of people? So that's when we decided, okay, we need to make this a little less of an experiment and a real dApp. So that's how we started. Some people believe, because if you started using the product today, the experience is somewhat smooth. It works nicely. It wasn't always like this. For a very long time, it was all very rough, pretty much the way Ethereum dApps are evolved. And it happened to almost our DApp partners. And it's nice to see that we are finally getting to build nicer experiences.
Dude, nicer experience, to say the least, man. I feel like our community is like PoOP obsessed. Like, you know, people show up to things and like one of the first questions is like, what's the PoOP today? Who designed the PoOP? And, you know, at this point, we must have given out hundreds and hundreds, if not in the thousands of PoOPs at our community. I feel like one of the things you guys have accomplished is like really like the holy grail of projects. It's like, how do you create a token that is easily understandable and has utility and that can be distributed in like a fairly seamless way? And I mean, I'm sure there are like some Discord integrations that could like streamline the process even further, but for the most part, like our audience loves them and expects them, and it's like become, you know, synonymous with a lot of our events. So I'm just curious, man, just from like a user perspective, like what is on the roadmap for you guys, like moving forward? And also, man, I feel like the use of the XDAI blockchain is one of the seamless, like alternative blockchain experiences that I've had with any of the projects. And I feel like the big thing right now is to pivot onto like a layer two, you know, type of solution or an alternative blockchain type of solution, but all of the experiences are not great. And, you know, obviously there's some like lifting to be done if you want to get your PoOPs off of XDAI and onto Ethereum, but for the most part, just being able to like claim them and look at them is not like very complicated. And I think that's one of like the greatest things about it. So, dude, can you like leak some alpha? Like what's on the horizon, yeah. Man?
You will like this a lot.
Yes.
Because if you really believe that the current experience is cool, you are going to be astonished.
Good. So, I know it, man. Everybody thinks it's cool. So if there's more to come, that's the only bonus round.
So as you perfectly noticed, we are consumer oriented. We want the people to understand this thing quickly and to have fun with them without hassle. That was a core principle. On our own standards, the experience we have created and we are using now, let's say it's a 4 out of 10, and we expect on the next quarter to improve that, let's say, to 5 or 6 out of 10, and hopefully next year we would be offering something nearing an Instagram-like experience compared to what we offer now, meaning we should have mobile native apps that anyone can use without awareness of using a blockchain. We should be offering a claim process that is better polished than the current one. We should have much more many more issuers than what we have now, because as you know, because you organize and you're one of the top issuers of PoOPs, issuing PoOPs, it's not as streamlined as it should be. You still have to do some configurations. There are some limits. So that to say the most important milestones. Then we have a huge backlog of little features that should aggregate and create a much nicer experience. For example, animated PoOPs, which is something they all want. We've done some proof of concept, and it's curious how something so little as an animated PoOP can change so much the experience. We want to have better social features. So for example, let's say that you are on waiting for something and you want to do something funny on your phone in the meantime, you can play around on the app and see who else has the closest collection to mine. So let's say you have 100 PoOPs and you can tell the app who else has this PoOP, and you can pick one, and many others, and you get statistics, and then you get to interact with that person not knowing who he is. That's awesome. So let's say you share interests because your PoOPs are a clear representation of your interest, And you may get to create the spontaneous communities of like-minded people. Another thing more complex we want to have, but this is not on the roadmap for this year, we want to have privacy-preserving pop-ups. Because once you have a nice collection, it does happen that the collection tells too much about you and it's all public. So we would offer a way for putting like a cloaking shield and say these POAPs, I want them to be fully private or selectively private, like only certain people can see them. And certain people could be who you designate or some programmatically assigned subset, which would be only people that hold them. Because now there's an issue that some people in our community have, especially minorities, which is like if you went to a gay party in your community, that may create negative consequences in some other circles. So you want your gay friends to know that you went to gay parties because that's where you go, because you want to engage with the community. But you can't, unfortunately, allow everyone to know that. So privacy-preserving POAPs are coming. Some partnerships that I can't disclose are coming but could have a really meaningful impact, like this organization that I can't mention may give you priority access to something if you hold certain POAPs of some activity. And this is only a glimpse of what we are working on. POAP is now a team of like 15 people, counting full-time and part-time. And we are all working for making a product 10 times better than what it is now.
Awesome. Dude, you're right. That's all really exciting.
I just want to flag too, and I'll make this more apparent when I go back and edit. But when Patricio mentioned that we're going to get animated POAPs, Rizzle had this like guttural, almost primal, yes, response.
You turn that up in the post edit.
So something you can edit or put it the way you want it. We made some faulty prioritization in the past many times because of my personality. I normally don't represent the POAP user base. And what I decide to prioritize, it's not what the POAP user base would have liked to have prioritized. So for example, I spend the time doing some complex integrations and some other things that nerds would enjoy instead of doing animated POAP, which is something I don't go a week without telling someone it's coming. So I take responsibility on that. I want to have more and better community input because I make POAP for the people. I don't make it for me.
POAP for the people.
I need to make a better shop understanding what people want and delivering.
Dude, what's the business model though? I mean, we're taking, it almost feels like we're stealing or like taking advantage of your platform. We're just like giving away hundreds of like free NFTs that we would never be able to do if it weren't for you guys and your team. Like how does this scale into, or maybe it already has, but like, how do you, turn POAP for the people into also like POAP that puts food on your guys' table?
Yeah. Monetization in the POAP platform, it's a minor concern. It's not a concern at all. We don't think on this because for once, running costs are low. Platform costs aren't too high because we use Ethereum. And this is something that might be too technical, but it's worth explaining. I had friends that had thousands of batches in Foursquare. And when the company went down, they were really disappointed. But one had to admit that if you are using a Silicon Valley company, you have to accept that they need to run infrastructure and pay for servers and pay for impressively high salaries on the Bay Area. And if they don't make money out of you, they will go down. On Ethereum, you can have the guarantee that we don't have to pay for incredible servers. We don't have to cover salaries. As long as the tokens are on Ethereum or on the XI network or on any other decentralized network, anyone can permissionlessly get a hold of the protocol. So monetization is a minor concern. because our running costs are low, but they are still there, and there are marketing costs and others. But we feel that if what we are building makes sense, and we believe it does, there will be plenty of opportunities to achieve sustainability.
That's good, man. I mean, you gave us a lot of good alpha leaks, so you can't like spill all the beans, I assume.
But, yeah. And the running costs, I think that's a really huge point. I mean, if it's going to be that much less than like a traditional Bay Area-based VC project that is trying to scale worldwide in a short amount of time, like, yeah, they're going to be focused on monetizing all that upfront cost eventually versus what Poap has been, which, I mean, from my perspective, it's grown really organically by the community. There's a lot of love for even in Token Smart, and I'm sure for all the other communities that are using Poap in a way that, I mean, even if you just wanted to rely on the community to monetize or even shore up that sustainability, that would be an option, let alone all the other things that I'm sure are options to you that you probably can't just disclose at this point, right?
Yeah, yes, ambition for monetization goes along this way. And this is still on the design board. We don't know if it's going to be like this. But ideally, Poap would be a protocol like Ethereum, meaning that although it has a founder, it has a founding team, it has a foundation, you don't need anyone's permission to use Ethereum. Anyone can go and deploy whatever they want on the chain, and they don't need Vitalik's Buterin permission. We would like Poap to be like that, but there are governance challenges because someone has to decide what it's allowed, what's not. Like, for example, we don't allow copyright material now. If you want to put on an image, someone else's art, and it's copyrighted, we can't allow it. We don't want to have strong content like porn or gore or things that are unpleasant to see. So someday we may have a governance process, and that governance process may have the ability or should totally have the ability to decide who gets to use Poap and how much do they pay. And it can make that using Poap, it's free for most. But then if you are the Super Bowl and people are paying expensive tickets to attend, they may get to pay a small fee for covering running costs. So that's a possibility. And there's a strong interest on large concert venues, on large artist managers, museums, and other entities on issuing Poaps. So it can totally happen that commercial ventures using Poap pay for the platform usage and cover the subsidy for community events. That's one possibility. That this is not close to happen because establishing such a governance framework sounds like a titanic task, and we have many earlier challenges to that. But that's one idea, and sounds like there is a path to monetization. It's really not something that worries us.
Totally. One of the other areas that I kind of wanted to double down into, I know you mentioned that folks who do collect Poaps, they're building out sort of an interest graph for themselves, and then by association of the others who attended the same sort of events. But zooming out a little bit more, it feels like the issuance of Poaps is probably a really good indicator of where the events are happening in like the metaverse and like the connected platforms that folks in the metaverse use, like Discord, Twitter, et cetera, Clubhouse, where they have these events. So I'm curious, like with your high level perspective of seeing where the Poaps are being issued regularly, like what are some of the major events that are being held in the metaverse or held in a way that incorporates Poap into them? I feel like using it as a gateway into finding these other experiences and communities could be an interesting.
Oh yeah, discovery is one of our core value propositions. The idea that because of Poap you get to discover and curate content that otherwise you couldn't, it's one of the our main objectives. Nowadays, curation it's a highly sought after quality that it's not abundant because there's so much content flowing always, and there's so much sponsored content flowing to you by advertisers or commercial enterprises that it gets hard to find quality content of your like based on honest questions. So for this, and this is a good question for more alpha leaking. For a long time we had this project, and we still have it. It's on our agenda, and we have the domain, which is powup.events. And in powup.events, you'd have a discovery tool for seeing all the events that have powup organized either by language, region, style, theme, and other qualities. And you could be suggested upcoming events, and you could play around with everything powup events, because the more events do use powup, the more the entropy builds. And at a point, we don't want this to be a mess. So we need to build better tools for community members to navigate this metaverse of digital things we are building, and to having a control graph. We don't want this to go out of control. We want people to know exactly every powup on their collection, where did they get them, why is it important? And part of this initiative, and the reason why we haven't launched powup.events, it's because we want to have a highly committed curator. We want to have in the team someone that knows all powups, that understands which one matters, which one is irrelevant, which one happened the day that COVID started, which one happened when something unexpected happened. And we believe that if we build a curation body, we can offer a much better experience to collectors. Going back to your question of the largest events, Crypto Box Sales and Decentraland have made POA very comfortable. They both have grown communities, and we are very honored that they represent us well. We want, and again, this is because of a lack of a curator and a professional community manager and some other roles, we haven't done this, but it's on the cards. We want to have our own spaces on both, at least in Crypto Box Sales and in Decentraland. In both of them, generous community members have offered us a real estate, so that's not a problem. Some issuers of POAP are the largest contractors you can get for building your properties. So the only reason why that hasn't happened, that we have our own place, it's just because we were focusing on some other things. So Decentraland and CryptoBox Sales are the main venues. We wish we covered other metaverses, like this Somnium Space VR thing. It's up to the community to tell organizers on those events, hey, these events would have been much better if they had power. So I trust you will help with this.
All events are better with POAPs. I'm just sitting here thinking, I mean, like, and I'm sure you guys have had these conversations in the background too, like in terms of the use cases of attendance, obviously you could do like proof of anything tokens, and it could extend in like a million different directions, like, you know, proof of picking your nose, proof of like, you know, hopping onto this like thing at one point in time, you know, proof of like a million things. Do you like anticipate expanding in other like proof of thing tokens, or is like attendance the vehicle that you feel like is the, you know, what you guys are going to double down on, or, you know, how does that take shape?
That's a challenge. That's one of the issues that keep me awake at night regarding POAP. Up until now, all questions you asked, I had pre-thought answers that I could defend. The scope of our proofs is being discovered as we speak, and it's really a concerning issue. As I confidently say, monetization is not a concern at all. The scope of proof really is, because I personally want POAP only to be for events, and for events like real events, not picking your nose, not being part of a podcast. like for example, attending a listening party, that's totally valid. just listening a podcast isn't. So this is a challenge. Part of the community is upset with me because I tell them to go elsewhere to issue their proofs. Some of them, this is going to change with time, but some say, yeah, but I don't have anywhere to go that makes such a pleasant experience to issue NFTs. And I tell them, I wish I could help, but this is not what PoApp is for. So this is an ongoing challenge. I would love to have more community input, because the problem is, if we expand the scope too much and you can do PoApps for things that aren't clearly events, the value proposition diminishes. Because we need, we need to make each PoApp something that makes you remember something. Something that you've done, something that you went, something you've been part of. And if that changes from person to person, we are just your personal scrapbook. We aren't a platform for discovering interest, for creating a social graph, for building your online identity that doesn't use private identifiable information. So this is a strong challenge. I'm still seeking input. For now, I'm going by ear. As we speak, I decide what we allow, what we don't allow. Events are definitely allowed. Other things like being member of a community might be allowed if the issuer puts a time frame. So we say, I've been a member of this community on 2021. That is allowed because it resembles an event, that it's a year long lasting event. But you are right. I think there's an empty spot in the market for a general platform for the issuance of proof of arbitrary proofs.
I love that idea of sort of doing a like using the amount of events that, for example, within Token Smart, someone's attended, and then saying, well, anyone who hits 20 or more events that they've attended and claimed to pull out for, they get this Token Smart membership for that particular year. I feel like that is really powerful as these decentralized communities start to expand and the communities themselves get so large. I mean, right now, still, you can sort of like eyeball who are the OGs in the Token Smart Discord and stuff like that. But
dude, I want to compare my PoApp collection to other ones so I can flex on them, right?
100%. But I want to go back and talk a little bit about a more technical area that I think it's been really integral to, especially the recent kind of explosion and proliferation of PoApps in the metaverse. And that's that you guys' decision to set up shop in the XDAI network. And I know a lot of projects are still looking at layer twos and are in the process of finding more cost-efficient, less gas-intensive solutions for if they're in NFT land, minting, distributing NFTs and everything like that. But if you could kind of like walk us through the decision-making process that led you and PoApp to setting up on XDAI network, that could probably be pretty helpful for other folks in the space.
There's a secret sauce that I normally share. It's not so secret, but it's still somewhat secret. And the secret sauce is that we are super relaxed on purism. When I say we, it's a PoApp core development team. We keep complete control of the contracts. We have admin keys. We can upgrade them anytime. We host the images on a centralized server, like on Amazon. So when you are so relaxed that you don't care so much about trust guarantees, immutability and such, everything gets much easier. And that's why we achieved such a smooth experiences when you mint, when you transfer, when you migrate, because we aren't really decentralized. Our strategy is only decentralized because decentralizing is fundamental. I started the conversation saying that PoApps are meant to last forever. So that's somewhat incompatible with being so relaxed on purity fundamentals, pure fundamentals. By being so relaxed, everything got much easier. And that's why we decided on XDAI. XDAI has a reputation, and I think it's only a reputation. I don't think it's true. But from external optics, it's not a very safe network. And if projects are doing six-figure NFTs, like NFTs that worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, it might not be safe to do them in the way we do. So that's kind of our secret sauce. I had lots of conversation with colleagues from other NFT projects, including some of the most popular ones. And they, not that they get upset, but they get frustrated when they say, yeah, well, you are able to provide such a smooth experience because you don't have to worry about immutability. And yeah, this is how it has worked so far. It has happened the same to Top Shots. So Top Shots, it's even worse than POA because we say we are relaxed, but we still care about decentralization. We still have a decentralization path in the future, and we plan to execute maybe even sooner than expected. Unlike Top Shots, who's pretty much a Web2 app that runs on centralized servers, and it has a blockchain component, but it's there just for the lulz. So I guess this is what I have to say to any other builder. You have to declare or make up your mind about where do you sit on the decentralization spectrum, because decentralization is not a state. Decentralized is not a state. There's no governing body that says what's decentralized and what's not. It's just that if you allow yourself to be less strong on your purity standards, you may be able to create easier and less complex experiences.
Dude, I commend you for, you know, picking your lane and staying in it. I feel like that's the temptation of, you know, a lot of projects right now, is there's so much latent space in the NFT world in general that it, you know, it's very tempting to just go after everything that you are, you know, capable of doing at the same time. And, you know, instead of doing that, building a solid product that's like solely based around the, you know, event experience, I think is awesome, man. And obviously in supreme demand, yes, I did have a guttural response to like the 3D POAP coming and everything. I mean, you know, it's amazing though, man. I mean, just with as simple and like rudimentary as the concept is, like right now, show up, get a thing. You know, people are, you know, all over it. And, you know, I can only imagine that enhancing the experience, you know, will go a long way. I mean, you could see like, and I'm sure you've been down this rabbit hole like a million times too. Like, you know, once you can start comparing your POAPs to other people, you know, there's a, you know, the potential to form communities and, you know, social gatherings just based around, you know, the POAPs you have common and other with other people, or like, you know, related ones and everything. There's so many different interesting ways you can sort of crunch those numbers and bring different experiences to people based on their POAP history. Man, dude, you've got like quite the interesting project on your hands. And I don't know, man, I would be really tempted to go into other directions. Like, you know, I would think, you know, even me, I don't have the developer skills, but I'm like, man, there could be proof of like so many other things right now. And I think it's good, man. You don't want the POAP to be like the proof of picking your nose thing, in addition to like your proof of having to bend to like the Carnegie Hall experience or something like that. So I definitely feel like that, you know, lends even higher credibility to the POAPs that I already have, knowing that that's the roadmap for them. Is XDAI the answer, like moving forward for you? Is there like anything on the roadmap that is, you know, tinkering around with either, you know, using multiple blockchains or going back to a layer one solution at some point? Or is it, you know, I know you said there are some concerns with it. You know, I feel like there are concerns for every approach right now. What, how do you see that working out in the long term?
I would sell all of the above. Staying in XDAI, going back to layer one, exploring other blockchains, all of the above are being worked on. The current state is that XDAI network has provided everything we needed and more. It has enough capacity for us to grow 10 or 100 times, which we plan in the short-term future. So there's no clear need of moving out of XDAI, but there's a clear ambition in the POAP core team of making whatever is best and never stop experimenting. So that's why I say all of the above. At the same time, giving the opportunity to the collectors to place their collections wherever they please, it's a powerful value proposition that we want to keep. So for hardcore collectors, especially wealthier ones, we encourage them to mint on layer one because it's like the state of the art of collecting. It's pretty much as if you collect, train tickets, and you can have them in a drawer or you can put them on a frame each. If you have enough money, there's nothing better than put each on a frame or on the state of the art of your item to and the thing you use for holding your items. So everything is on the cards, but XDAI has worked so well that we are prioritizing other features and upgrades on different parts of the product. Something that I think it's a good time to mention, we want PoUp to be an exciting project and we want everyone to be welcome. You don't need to be technical. So I said PoUp has 10, 15 members on the team, but we are mostly technical people and we are looking community managers. We are looking for curators. We are looking for content creators. There's so much content to build around PoUp. There's so many products that nobody knows that exist. Like, for example, we have this PoUp boat thing, which is a product for Pulse. And it has so much potential that it's a pity that nobody has put a piece of content out there for the community to know that this exists. So I think this is a good time to explain PoUp boat, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that you go to a concert of your favorite band. Like, for example, my favorite band that still plays, and I'm very fortunate that I've been to their concerts a couple of times, is Radiohead, the British band.
Yep.
And Radiohead has so many hits that it is quite a random thing to get your favorite set list, like the list of songs that you try to play. Because let's say on a concert, the band can play 20, 24 songs at best. But there are more than 24 songs that I really like. And what they normally do is they play a somewhat varied set that their hits and some obscure songs. And then at the end of the concert, depending on the excitement of the audience, they may play a couple more songs. And those couple more songs at the end, they might be quite random. So just imagine that you go to a concert and when you go to the ticket window or the wheel call, I don't know what's the name of it, depending on different regions, you get your ticket, you go with your ticket, you get your wristband, you may get a t-shirt if you had a VIP ticket. Let's suppose that you get your PoUp, and this might be closer than what we think. And you scan your PoUp with your phone, because every person has a phone nowadays. And when they have to decide which songs they do play as the encore, I think it's called. I don't know the name in English. I'm a native Spanish speaker. You get to pick on your phone what they would like to play, and every person could pick the thing, and you get your band to play exactly what the crowd wanted. And that's something you couldn't do with any other technology without a painful process like registering and validating that you are there. You just couldn't do it. While PoUp enables this thing seamlessly at no cost, at no friction. You don't have to sign up for anything. Anyone that has used a current PoUp wallet app could see that there's no friction. You just open the thing and you get your PoUps. And let's say that you have your Radiohead concert PoUp. You click on it and say, there's an available poll. What's the song you want us to play next? And this product is already there for anyone to use it. This is not an experimental thing that's coming. It's all put together. And nobody knows this because we just didn't have the time to let the community know.
Well, they're about to know as soon as they hear this. And I feel like within the Token Smart Discord, I feel like we can kick the tires on this and get more folks aware of this polling potential with PoUps.
Yes, so as we have both, we also have chat and fun. Fun is for raffles. So let's say you are at the interval on the concert, and you mention a raffle, and maybe you earn a meet and greet on the midst of the concert. And that's still there for anyone to use. This is not an experiment. I mean, it's an experimental thing because everything in POP is experimental, but it's not a hypothetical product. And POP chat, it still requires a slightly more development. It's not so ready. But the idea is that you could create a private chat group only based on people holding certain tokens. And if you mix that with the social graph functionality, you could achieve quite marvelous things, like, let's say, creating a spontaneous multiple-person chat where you say, I want a chat room with people that are here at this concert and that also has a certain museum pop-up. And you may get on a much closer, cozy group of people, and you can have a fully anonymous chat, again, without signing up, without setting up a new password, without giving your information to a mega corporation. It's really disruptive. If we manage to pull this thing together, and we are working very hard for that, we can really change the way people interact with each other.
100%. And that's super exciting, and everything that you're doing and cooking up at POOP that folks know about and will soon know about, I think is just really exciting and one of the most kind of under the radar for folks products out there. I'm excited to get even more people on board to this. But one of the last questions we like to hit our guests with is a bit of a shakedown of sorts of your digital wallet. Someone that's been in the space for quite a minute, I'm curious, like, what sorts of digital assets and coins do you have shaken up in your wallet these days?
Well, I didn't expect this question. I'm in the cryptocurrency space. But I listened to the podcast, and I'm not sure I remember this. I'm 90% Ether. No doubt that I'm very confident on my holding of Ether. I do believe that most of these assets, including the ones I hold, behave in a casino-like, but Ether is the asset I understand the most. I spent 6 years straight full-time understanding it, and I almost feel like there's little reason to hold anything else. Of course, if you have the time and you can spot shams and you can flip artworks and you can follow drops on Nifty Gateway or Rarible or those super exclusive venues, it might make sense to check that out and put your money in that. But if you need to have a passive portfolio, Ether, it's like the best representation of what every of us is building. By holding Ether, you are getting exposure to the art space, you are getting exposure to DeFi, you are getting exposure to a new store of value. So as I said, I'm 90% Ether, and then I hold my Uni airdrop, which is not your typical Uni airdrop. We got a very large share because of providing liquidity early on Ether and stablecoin pairs. And then I hold Rocket Pool, which is an Ethereum 2 proof of stake pool, which I hold because it's like holding leverage Ether. If you believe Ether makes sense, Rocket Pool makes equal sense because it's a staking pool for Ether. If Ether would crash, Rocket Pool doesn't have a reason to exist. But if it doesn't crash and it grows, Rocket Pool should grow larger. And something that's also worth mentioning, and I think that pretty much covers all my portfolio, but instead of saying what I have, I would say why I don't have. I obviously don't have any Ripple. I don't have any ADA, Cardano, those things. But more surprisingly, I don't hold any Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is, at this point, a disgrace for humanity. It's been a fantastic way to experiment different technologies. Proof of work and the consensus model and the cryptography it uses has enabled the flourishing and the creation of an industry. But right now, it's a huge environmental liability. It has created wrong incentives for miners and investors and holders. So I don't hold any Bitcoin. I'm expecting Ethereum to move to proof of stake because it's quite embarrassing. For me, it's embarrassing to hold Ethereum while we are still destroying the planet, calculating and mining just for sustainability. So I guess this answers the question. I hold lots of Ether, Uni, RPL, and then I hold lots of smaller positions on projects I like or I believe, like Synthetics. Synthetics is like one of my favorite projects. Kane Warwick is one of my favorite persons in the space, not only for his ability as a builder, but because his personality, he's quite a unique person. If I had to pick my favorite builder, it's likely Kane. And I do hold other stuff, but I think that plays 99% of my assets.
That's awesome. And Patricio, I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today about what you're doing today at Poap and what you are planning to build and share with everyone heading forward. I think it's really exciting. And for anyone that wants to get their first Poap, make sure you hit up any of the events in the Token Smart Discord. They give away, I think, some of the largest number of Poaps in the metaverse on the most frequent basis. So show up to that, claim your Poaps.
If you want to learn more. The listening party that's happening while people are probably listening to this right now.
Hell yeah. Make sure you show up.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense.
Exactly. If you want to learn more, make sure you check out poap.xyz. But with that, I just want to thank you again, Patricio, for your time, and keep on creating, man.
It's been very nice to be here with you, and hopefully on our next interview, everything I promised today has been delivered.
Hell yeah.
Awesome, man. We'll have to have you back.
There we go. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Patricio.
Have we stopped recording? I guess.
I am going to stop recording right now.
Hey, everyone. Matthew here. Thank you for listening to today's show. I just want to remind everyone of this month's sponsor, Whale Street. Whale Street is the DeFi engine that powers NFT economics on a massive scale. They make huge currency swaps happen, or whale swaps as they're called, with very small slippage costs and without crashing the system. They also engineered the largest ever NFT bundle and fractionalized it into the historic B20 tokens. Whale Street is all about upside, so dip into the liquidity pools for rich rewards. For B20, join discord.com/whale. That's discord.com/WHALE. And follow Whale Street on Twitter @WhaleStreetOFFL. Thank you, and see you next episode. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Proof of Beauty. Proof of Beauty is an experimental digital experience studio. The blockchain is their canvas and the tokens are their brush. You can learn more about Proof of Beauty by checking out pob.studio. You can follow them on Twitter as well at prrfbeauty. That's prrfbeauty on Twitter and pob.studio on their homepage to learn more about their projects like Hash, London, and Publico. Thank you, and see you in the next episode.